Dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, all saints from the branch churches and the local sanctuaries, such as in viewers, and all children of God who attend the worship online, this is the 35th lecture on Genesis. In the last lecture among the creation works of the third day, I explained how God created the seas and the land. I will now tell you about the creation of the vegetation on the third day of the creation. When God created all things in the universe, He didn't follow the order of a natural law. Let me categorize the dimensions of all things from the perspective of a spread. First, that which has experience but does not repair nor move are non-dimensional. The dimensions at which God explained is different from what people mean by it. It does not mean dots, lines, or solid. Being unable to breathe or move is called a non-dimensional being. Then those which breathe but don't move by themselves, such as plants, are first-dimensional being. Therefore, plants breathe but do not move, so they belong to the next categories after non-dimensional beings, the first one. Those things like animals that exist and can breathe and move freely but have only a soul without any spirits are second-dimensional beings. What distinguishes a human from the beast is that humans have a spirit. And all the spiritual beings such as angels, cherubims, are first-dimensional beings. There are the categories by dimension from the viewpoint of the spirit, the soul, and the body as God explained it. When God manifested the works of creation, He first created the spiritual realm, which is the first dimension. He created the angels and the cherubim. As the time came, He began the creation works in earnest in the first heaven, which is the fleshly world. He laid the foundation of the earth, which is the basic ground for human cultivation. And He then created all the necessary things on the earth. During the 6 days of the creation, God begins by creating the things of the lower dimensions first. On the first day, He laid the foundation on the earth, which is a non-dimensional beings. On the second day, He separated the seas and the land, which is also non-dimensional beings. And then He created the plants, which are the first dimensional being. On the fifth and the sixth days of the creation, He created the bird, fish, and animals, which are second-dimensional beings. And lastly, He created man, who is the third-dimensional being. God created things beginning with the lower-dimensional following order. However, as you can see, the order was changed on the third day and the first day. The plants that are first-dimensional beings were created on the third day, but the sun, the moon, and the stars, which are non-dimensional beings, were created on the first day. Plants which are higher dimensional beings than the sun, the moon, and the stars were created the first. By human knowledge, plants can survive only when there's sunlight. However, God created the plants before He created the sun. Moreover, waters that are necessary to plants were not ready yet in the land. There were waters in the sea, but that there were no waters in the land because it had not yet rained. Therefore, it's quite difficult to understand with a fleshly knowledge the fact that plants were created before the sun. Every word in the Bible is true, however, it's true and the word of the living God. Every single thing will be explained as to why God created this way. Then why did God create the plant first before the sun? He could have created the sun first and then created the plants later on, but God surely created the plants first and then later created the sun. That's why is to show that all the things in the universe are under the power of God. There's no sun in the heavenly kingdom, but flowers and the trees have a beautiful colors that give off the fragrances and yield fruits. The nature of heaven grows and bears fruits without sun. Revelation chapter 21, 23 says, And the city has no need of the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God has illuminated and its lamps in the Lamb. It's referred to the Lamb, that is Jesus Christ. In the heavenly kingdom, the light of the God's glory shines over every corner, and all things survive by the power of this light. Likewise, during the 6 days of the creation, by creating the plants before the sun, he revealed that fundamental power to maintain all things in the universe is in the hand of God the Creator. It's all possible through the power of God for a single crumb of the grass to be able to sprout and for a single wild flowers to bloom. As you may already know, the power of God, the Creator, by the far surpasses the knowledge and the ability of a man. Fleshly man cannot sense such a power and the divine the nature of a God more while they try to believe. They would rather propose a theory of the evolution and try to explain the origin of a life. Evolutionists assume that simple organic substances were synthesized accidentally on the primitive Earth and that primitive cells were created through the accidental synthesis of this organic substance. They assumed that some of the primitive cells evolved into the plant cells and other parts evolved into the animal cells by chance. This theory that life first arose naturally in the nature is still controversial in the scientific community. This is because they claim that everything came about by chance and that there are no experimentally proven results. But the Bible states it very clearly. Genesis chapter 1, 11 to 11 says, Then God said, Let the earth sprout the vegetation, plant yielding seed and the fruit trees on the earth bearing fruits after their kind with the seed in them. And it was so. The earth brought the first vegetation, plant yielding seed after their kinds, and the trees bearing fruits with the seed in them after their kinds. And God saw it was good. At the word of God the Father, the earth sprouts the vegetation, plants, and the fruits trees after their kinds. By the way, God didn't create the seeds first and make them sprout. At the word of God the Father, plants and the vegetation came out from the land. They extended their roots under the ground, the trunks and the branches grew up, and the flowers bloomed, and the fruits were yielded. Generally, it takes years for fruit trees to bear fruit. However, it was done instantly on the third day of the creation. Another record of such a work like this can be found in the Bible. Numbers chapter 17, 6 to 8 says, Moses therefore spoke to the son of Israel, and all their leaders gave him the rod of pieces. For each little, according to their father's household, the 12 rods, with the rod of the Aaron among their rods. So Moses disposed in the rod before the Lord in the tent of the testimony. Now on the next day, Moses went into the tent of the testimony, and behold, the rod of Aaron for the house of the Levi had sprouted and put forth buds and produced blossoms. And it happened overnight. Here inside of the tent of the testimony refers to the holy of the holiness of the tabernacles built during the wilderness period. It's the holy of the holies where our God was present. There was no sunlight at all inside the holy place. It was dried out the wooden staff. However, on the next day, only the rod of Aaron sprouted and put forth the buds and produced the blossoms. and it bore the ripe almonds. In an environment where no plants can survive in the fleshly sense, such a wonder took place in less than a day. It was possible because of the rod of Aaron was covered by the spiritual space riding on the spiritual flow of a time. So when God created the plants, He made each plant have a seed. There's a life in the seed, so it can prosper on its own for generations to come. He also gave it to the ability to prosper on its own. This is how God planned for the plants as He first created them. God even gave each of the plants the most effective ability to spread their seeds around. Since the plants are rooted in the ground, the seeds will also fall around them unless there's no other way to do so. If many seeds fall in the one place like this, there will be fierce competition when the seeds grow and spread. Because the land is small, they can only absorb the little water and the nutrients, so they can grow poorly overall. Therefore, it's more beneficial if they can spread their seeds as far as they can. Considering even this, God helped them spread their seeds in most effective way. For example, think of a dandelion. Once its flower is gone, there are about 100 seeds left. Its seeds are quite a bit bigger and harder than other plants of the same size. If a dandelion didn't have any special device, there would be about 100 seeds on the ground where its flower bloomed. The seeds would be densely packed in the small area, and they wouldn't have enough space to grow up and they are sprout. However, God installed a special device into the seed of a dandelion. God attached a parachute-like device to every seed. You see the dandelion, right? This parachute-like device is very effective to fly high in the air, even in the very modest breeds. Its seeds rise high into the sky, even in the weak winds, and it allows for the seed to travel tens of kilometers. Other than the dandelions, there are many plants that are equipped with great flying devices. There are seeds of the plants that have a device with a resemble the man-made gliders or helicopters. Even though their flying mechanism is very simple, but their abilities are far superior to that of the man-made flying objects. The proportion of the weight of the seeds and the length and the width of its wings are very idle. If the wings are small for the weight, the seed cannot fly far away but fall down on the ground easily. However, the seeds are given well-balanced wings so that they can fly just enough distance. God made the balance of all things perfect. Aircraft designers study the flying mechanisms of these plants. Here's another example. Have you ever seen the seed of the garden balsam? The seed of the back of the fully ripened garden balsam exploded when touched lightly. Then the seeds fly away in all directions. This is one of the ways for seeds to spread effectively. Seeds or fruits of all some plants are spread far by being provided as a food in digested by the birds or animals. Some animals don't consume all the collected fruits but bury them in the ground. They store their food in their own way. However, since they bury them here and there, they don't remember all the places. As a result, the seeds which were buried under the ground sprout and grow up there. from the point of the plants, they provide their fruits to animals as food and have the animals work for them. As a result, animals plant the seeds of the plants in the ground quite well. Symbiotic relationships are so interesting. Some are given as a food and some are spread through the animals. The one who designed and created all of this is God our Father. It's true that God designed each plant this way from the beginning so that it could spread its seed most effectively. Dear brothers and sisters, there's another amazing ability that God has given plants. It's the ability to create the nutrients using the sunlight, water, and air. This is called photosynthesis. For example, an apple tree can make the delicious apples using the sunlight, water, and air. Rice, barley, sweet potatoes, peanuts are all stored nutrients produced by each plant using the sunlight, water, and air. Plants need the light to make a food, so they instantly move towards the light from the moment they sprout. You can see that growing, plants naturally bend their stems towards the light. When other pastors and I went to the Jeju Island, we saw a vacant space with a surrounded trees facing there. The tour guide told us a story. The all trees around that vacant place is facing that the vacant space. And the tour guide just told us a story saying there was a legend related to it. I thought the sight wasn't the case at all, but I couldn't interrupt the guide's explanation. So I just smiled and moved on. But the reason is that the forest, but since the surrounding area is empty, sunlight naturally comes in. All the trees are facing the vacant place to receive the sunlight. There was a seminar for esters in Gangwon-do at the time, too, when it was over and you walk to the top of the place. There is a waterfall, and the trees on the left and the right are facing one direction. At the time, I asked the pastor's wife, Esther, why all the trees were facing in one direction and why they were not all facing in different directions. At the time, no one could answer my questions. The fact that all the trees were facing this way to receive the sunlight and that their branches were bent like this in the direction where they could receive the sunlight. Do you understand? The trees and the plants lean towards an empty space where sunlight reaches, so they are facing in order to receive the sunlight, even if it's not a sunflower. For plants, a factory that produces this nutrients is the leaf. The more leaves a plant has, the more food it can produce. So plant produces as many leaves as possible. Meanwhile, God allowed the leaves of plants and the fruits produced by the plants to be used as a food for animals. So every creature, from insects to animals and people, use plants as a food. Instead, the plants are so numerous that they continue to thrive even when they become a food for animals. However, God gave certain plants a special ability to protect their leaves. For example, there's a plant called mimosa. If you lightly touch the leaves of this plant, the small leaves should rival up. And if you give them the more stimulation, they drop down. So it looks like it's withered. For example, when a grasshopper lands on the leaf shrivels up and the grasshopper cannot eat it. It also conserves as much energy as possible by doing so even at night. The leaves of the passion flower plants are good food for some butterfly larva. This butterfly caterpillar is so voracious and that it quickly gnaws away at the new shoots. So when the butterflies lay eggs, they do not lay eggs on the leaves that already have eggs attached to them. This is because the caterpillars that hatches from the eggs can have a hearty meal. Meanwhile, the leaves of the passion flower plants have a spot here, and there are looks like a butterfly eggs. When a butterfly sees that this spot, it thinks there's already an egg there and it goes somewhere else. Because this plant has this self-protection function, it's able to thrive and not go extinct. Even if some of the become a food for caterpillars. Even evolutionists argue that the plants evolved that way out of the necessity. But how can plants without the brains and the souls become like that on their own? They should have had a soul to think. But the flower cannot think like, I have to fool the butterfly by making my leaf look like that butterfly's egg. When God the Creator created the plants, He designed them to be that way and allowed such a extinctness. Therefore, God designed all plants and flowers so that they can defend for themselves and spread their seeds. The same goes to animals and insects. If I were to explain just this, it would take several months, so I'm only going to explain a few things. Let's look at some examples of animals. Herbivores prosper by eating plants and giving birth to many babies. Since they live by eating plants, they can survive even if there are hundreds of thousands of them in the large flocks. They move when there are no plants to eat due to weather changes or seasonal changes in the area. They travel the thousands of kilometers without a compass or map, yet they instinctively know where to go. They know when it's not raining and the plants will fall and they move instinctively. They move to find out where it will rain again and where there will be plants. It's not easy for people to move towards a specific area without a map or such as a knowledge, but they know the and migrate instinctively. It's an ability that God has implanted in their instincts so that they can live. Then what about the carnivores that eat other weak animals? They are also made so that they can eat enough for carnivorous animals. They mainly prey on the weak, sick, and the weak among the carnivorous animals. What happens when a lion gives a birth to many cubs and become too prosperous? Perhaps all carnivorous animals will become extinct. Therefore, God makes their community like that even when lions give a birth to cub. They fought and win against the other strong male lions. And when they become leaders, they kill above the other lions' cubs. Through this way, the number of lions is automatically controlled. From the lion's perspective, the leader keeps his position and protects its cubs by killing other lions and their cubs. But in the end, the number of lions is limited in this way. Therefore, Africa's natural ecosystems is maintained. So the predators keep each other in check. Hyenas keeps the lions in check. Dogs keep the other predators in check. So predators kept each other in check. If evolutionists were right, animals and people should have evolved to be able to photosynthesize. The sunlight, water, and air needed for the photosynthesis can be supplied in the sufficient quantity. How convenient it would be if humans had the ability to make food using it. Isn't it great that if you just drink water and breathe in the sunlight like a plant, and you will get nutrients? It would be really convenient because the energy needed to sustain the life would be generated without having to eat meals. However, from the beginning, God designed and created a plant to make a food through the photosynthesis and for animals to consume the food made by the plants. Genesis chapter 1, 29 to 30, and God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree yielding fruits with a seed in it. They shall be for food for you. And every beast of the earth, and every bird of the air, and every living thing on the earth. As he said, to every creeping thing I have given every green plant for food. And it was so." There is a good reason why God created this way. Plants need the air for photosynthesis. Animals also need air to live. However, when plants photosynthesize, what they need from the air is completely opposite to what animals need. When air enters plants, carbon dioxide in their air is converted into the oxygen through the photosynthesis. Conversely, when the air enters the lungs of the animals, oxygen is converted to carbon dioxide and comes out. Because of this interactions between the plants and animals, oxygen and the carbon dioxide are always maintained at a constant ratio in the atmosphere. How is this a coincidence? God made it all like that. So people are concerned about the shrink amazing forest, saying that oxygen will become scarce on the earth. People in the countries around the Amazon region are trying to cut down their forests for development, but developed countries are preventing them because this could lead to lack of the oxygen on Earth. If animals performed a photosynthesis like a plant, oxygen would increase in the air and the carbon dioxide would be depleted. Carbon dioxide is the main ingredient needed for the photosynthesis. And if it disappears, all living things will eventually die. Therefore, God wisely designed and created the creatures one by one, taking everything into account so that they could live together in balance. If we wanted to find and explain all of God's creative providence contained in plants, there would be many. Let's look at one more example of the amazing abilities of plants. How do flowers know their blooming time and the bloom? Does someone let them know that time, saying like, "Now that spring has arrived, let the forsythia, cherry blossom, magnolias, and azaleas bloom"? Even if someone tells them, the plants don't understand. So how do flowers know exactly when to bloom? It said that spring flowers bloom when the day is longer than the night, and the fall flowers bloom when it's opposite. How the plants measure this length of the day and night and the bloom accordingly? Isn't this truly amazing? The more you know, the more amazing abilities and the wisdom are contained in plants. Please believe that God the Creator implanted this amazing ability into each plant. Let me conclude it. Dear brothers and sisters in the Christ, I have explained how God created the plants on the third day of His creation. As all kinds of plants were created on the third day, God saw it was good. God was delighted in His heart as He saw all the necessary conditions for the human cultivation were set. In obedience to God's providence of creation, plants bloom at their respective times. And they also yield fruits as the time comes. The same goes for animals. Even bears eat as much as they can when the time comes to make fat. So in the fall, they have to endure the cold without eating for several months. Well, just like frogs and the snakes, they know when to dig into the ground. And when spring comes, they come out. This means that God created them so that they could live without eating. People will die if they don't eat it for a month or two. If you don't eat it for 2 months, won't you die? However, this means that such an animal was created so that they can survive even if they does not eat for a few months. In this way, animals that hibernated can survive by sleeping for several months without eating. By instinct for their survival, plants grow up through the sun and take roots under the ground in the search of water. In this way, plants head towards the sunlight, so if there's an open space, the trees will lean towards their sunlight enters. Now that you have learned this, take a look when you go to the mountain and check if they do it or not. God plants one seed of the life into each and every man. I said that this seed of the life can wake up only by the power of God. I also said that this seed of the life can grow up only when it drinks the spiritual water and eats the world of God, which is the spiritual light. Therefore, I hope that all believers like sunflowers that looks like a sun all day, live in the spiritual light, looking only at God the Father. Jeremiah chapter 17 says, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and who trusts in the Lord, for he will be like a tree planted by the water that extended its roots by the stream and will not fear when the heat comes, but its leaves will be green and will not anxious in a year of a drought." A tree planted by the water spread its roots along the river is not afraid of the heat. The verse is said that it will be as if its leaves are lush. There's no worry even as the year of the drought and the fruit does not cease. As I said, I wish you will extend the strong root into the word of God. Then you will be able to easily overcome any hardship. And so may you hurt fruit without ceasing your life. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local centers, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables, and the internet all over the world, transcending space and time. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. by the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. Be cleansed and made well. All epidemic diseases, such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them from any kinds of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, like stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's diseases, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis, and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes, and the deaf come to hear, and mute begin to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns, and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Father, please bless them to conceive a baby. Bless them to conceive a baby. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in their prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their home, their business, and their work by the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with the heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, "I've met God, I've experienced God, and received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.